I began a two-week study with you today called From Burden to Blessing. Anytime a pastor begins to talk about money, it's one of those subjects that you enter into with fear and trembling. Because what we know is that is the closest thing to our heart that there is in life. In fact, here's what the Bible says about that. The Word of God says, where your treasure is, there is your what? Heart also. And so what I want to do today is I want to take just a few moments with you to look in the Word of God and see what God says about giving and about tithing and all that. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do today. I want to ask you to lower all of your barriers, all right? I want you to put down all of those walls that you built up as you saw what I was going to teach on today. Because what I know is that when you begin to talk about money, you find that so often Christians have a tendency to react, and we feel like it's a burden. And what I want to do is, over the next 2 weeks, I want to move you from burden to blessing. I want to get you into the place that the Word of God says that you can live in the blessings of God. And here's what I want to talk about today. I began to think about this subject a while back. The Lord laid it on my heart to speak to us about it. And I began to think about it. And one of the things I began to look at is, and this is what we're going to talk about today, is why Christians don't tithe. Why do Christians not tithe? Why is it that as a believer, we don't tithe? And so I begin to look in the Scripture. So let's do that. Let's begin with that. If you would go to the last book of the Old Testament, all of you know that's where a pastor's going to go when he's going to talk about tithing, is the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, and I want to read to you three verses of Scripture, and we're going to jump to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10, beginning there, says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now watch these next few words. Test me in this. The Lord says test him about money. In fact, it's the only place in Scripture where God ever says to try him or to test him, and it's in this passage right here when he's talking about the tithe. And he says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. The King James Version says that you won't have room enough to contain it. And I will prevent pests from devouring your crop, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call me blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. So that's moving into that place of blessing that God has for us. Go into the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews, and I want to read to you a few verses out of the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, let me set it up, what I'm going to be reading about. It's a passage of Scripture where the writer of Hebrews is talking to the church, and he is talking to them about Abraham after Abraham had gone after his nephew Lot and had won a victory over four kings and had defeated them. The Word of God says that Abraham said, first of all, he said, I'm not going to let anybody say they made Abraham rich, only God. And so he meets a priest named Melchizedek, and that priest named Melchizedek, according to scholars, is a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. He meets that priest named Melchizedek, and the Word of God says that he paid tithes to Melchizedek. So that's where we pick up the story here in verse 7 of that. And there's a reason I'm reading this, and I want to show it to you. And it says, and without a doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In other words, we are the lesser, God is the greater, and so you and I can expect God to bless us. Now, how many of you want to be blessed? Rest of you are weird. Come on, I want to be blessed, man. I want God's blessings on my life. In the one case, the tenth or the tithe is collected by people who die. He's talking about here on earth. But in the other case, by him who is declared living. One might even say that Levi, who is the great-great-grandson, unfortunately, great-great-grandson, one might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid the tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek made Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. Now, there's a reason I read that passage, because I want you to understand this. The book of Malachi says that God will pour you out such a blessing that you won't be able to contain it. Now, how many of you found out that the more blessed you get, the bigger your container gets? Come on, tell the truth. When you made $25,000 a year, you lived off $25,000. You started making $50,000. Guess what? Your container just contained it, didn't it? You moved $75,000, moved to $100,000, whatever it is, wherever you are in life, your container. And so I would read that and I think, what does that mean? Because, you know, I think I could contain a few million a year. I'd be all for that. You know, I'd why are y'all tighten up on me, all right? Yes, Lord, send it, okay? And then I begin to read that in Hebrews, and here's what it says. It says that Abraham paid tithes, but when Abraham paid tithes, that it went all the way to the fourth generation, and here's Levi, not even born there, being blessed. So here's what God's saying to us, and then we'll get into the lesson today. God is saying to us that he is going to bless you so much when you enter into the covenant of tithing with him, that not only are you going to be blessed, but generations that are coming after you are going to be blessed as well. In other words, it's not just for you that you're doing this, but literally you're going to be blessing your children and your children's children and on as you enter into the covenant that God has established with mankind. Now, as I begin to think about this, I've been pastoring for a long time, and here's what I know about Christians. Christians love Jesus, don't we? Right? Christians love God. They're in a relationship with him. But what I have found over and over again is that a lot of Christians either, number one, think that tithing is a burden. It's, I got to do it. Man, if I don't do this, God's going to get me and this kind of thing. Or they just don't do it, and it's never even crossed their mind and whatever. And I thought, you know what? We love Jesus. We've got a relationship with him. Why is this whole aspect so hard for us? And so as I begin to think about that, I begin to just observe life a little bit, and I think I've come up with some reasons why Christians don't tithe. Now, let me explain tithing to you. Tithing means 10%. Tithing is a first fruit of Scripture. It's the first thing that we do off the very top, and it means 10%. I've heard Christians say, well, I'm going to double tithe. You can't. You can't double tithe, okay? You can only tithe. Tithe means 10%. You can give 20%, but all that, what you're doing is you're giving the tithe and then an offering. But you can't double the word tithing. If you tithe, it means 10%. That also means you can't give 4% and that. Let's keep on rolling right now, okay? So, why do Christians not tithe? Number one, you ready? Number one is a lack of knowledge. People just don't know. They don't know what the Word of God says. The book of Hosea, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse says that my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. They just don't know. They've gone to church and they've heard somebody say the tithes, and they thought that we were saying, you know, bring your tithes. And they look at me and go, he doesn't have one on. How can he be telling me to bring my tithes? He doesn't have it. No, it's tithe we're talking about, okay? And it's just simply this whole aspect is that we just don't understand. We just don't have the knowledge of what God's Word says to us about this in this season. And so that's the number one reason. As I look at Christians and I talk to Christians across the board, I find out that there is this lack of knowledge. Number two is a lack of understanding. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me read you a passage of Scripture, and then I'll explain this. The book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, and the 17th verse, here's Jesus speaking, and here's what he said. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. In other words, I didn't come to abolish the Old Testament. When he talks about law and prophets, it's talking about the entirety of the Old Testament. He said, I have not come to abolish that, but he said, I have come to fulfill that, okay? And so what he is saying to us is this, is that, look, you have to understand that I didn't come to do away with the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. Now, a lot of times, here's what I hear as pastor. Well, pastor, you have to understand that tithing is under the law. Ever heard that? How many of you have heard that? Tithing is under the law, right? Now, you're afraid to lift your hand for anything today, aren't you? All right? Now, here's what I want to tell you. Tithing is under the law, but tithing is before the law. What I just read to you about Abraham is 400 years before the law was ever written. In fact, you can go all the way back to Cain and Abel, and what you find some scholars tell us, that the reason God accepted one sacrifice that was brought and did not accept the other one was because one of them, if you study it, says first fruits, and the other one just said he brought the increase of his field. And so even all the way back to the very beginning, we find that tithing is there. We go through the Old Testament. We find tithing talked about time and time and time and time again. We come into the New Testament. Let me explain this to you. In the New Testament, watch what Jesus said about tithing. He looked at the scribes and the Pharisees and he said, you tithe on everything. He said, even to the smallest piece of thing in your cabinet, even to the smallest little detail, he said, you tithe on. Now watch what he said. He said, this you ought to do, But don't leave the weightier matters undone. Now watch what he's saying. He's saying tithing is a basic thing. He said it's not huge. It's a basic thing. This you ought to do, but you ought to move on from there. And then in the book of Hebrews, I just read you. Now this is years. The book of Hebrews is years after Jesus Christ has died and ascended upon high and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we have this passage where it talks to us about here on earth, men receive tithe, but there it's received unto God. So we see 30 and 40 years after Jesus Christ died that tithing is still happening in the New Testament church. And so we have to understand that listen, we've been told it's under the law. Well, let me talk to you just a second. Have you ever read what Jesus said? Jesus, they would come to him and they'd say, this is what the law says. And Jesus would say, yeah, he said, the law says that if you commit adultery, you deserve to be stoned to death. But he said, here's what I say. If you look on a woman to lust after her, y'all ready? You've committed adultery already in your heart. What did he do? He just raised the bar, didn't he? Jesus said, you have said that if you murder, you deserve death. He said, I say unto you, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder already in your heart. He just jacked it up again, didn't he? Right? I mean, Jesus just takes it to a higher dimension. What's the whole process here? People say, well, I'm under the New Testament. I want to live under the New Testament. Okay, good. Let's go to Acts. You ready? Some of you know what I'm going to do, don't you? Let's go to Acts. The book of Acts said they sold everything they had and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet to distribute among the people. I'll go back to that 10%, preacher. Right? So there's a lack of understanding. Now, the third one is, I think, the biggest one. I really think this is the greatest reason that Christians don't tithe, and that is a lack of financial planning. A lack of financial planning. And I won't read the passage to you, but you can go look it up. The book of Luke, the 14th chapter, verse 28 through 30, talks about if you get ready to build a tower, you need to sit down and count the cost. You need to look at it and make sure that you don't get the foundation built and then run out of money. In other words, that you need to have a plan and you need to work the plan. Here's what I found out about so many Christians is that we don't have a plan for our money. That was a great place to say amen. There you go. You got it, okay? I mean, in our life, we live without a budget. We think we're the government. We think we can just pass another law and just we think we can move it down to, you know, the 18th generation from us. No, you got to live with it. See, the reason I think that most Christians don't tithe is not because they don't want to tithe. They just look at their finances and go, there's no way I can tithe. Because we don't do what the Word of God tells us to do. The Word of God says, hey, take account. Look at your life. Look at your money. Look at your finances. Get a budget in your life. Become a Dave Ramsey fanatic. Do whatever you've got to do. Amen? Listen, for every dollar that goes through your hand, that's a part of your life. You say, I've never thought about it that way. Yeah, if you work 40 hours this week and you made $800, that $800 represents your life. Why is it we get nervous when pastor talks about money when money is the closest thing to who we are? Money represents who we, what we do with them, how we live. And we find ourselves so often struggling with this because we have become so consumer-oriented. We got to have the latest and the greatest. You know what I found out about the latest and the greatest? As soon as you get it, they update it. I mean, I don't have mine. As soon as you get the iPhone 6, I promise you they're going to be coming out with another one in a few months. As soon as you get a new car, I promise you, next year they're going to change the hubcaps and you're going to have to get a new one. Right? I mean, I got to have. And because of that, we miss out on the, listen, every dollar that goes through your hand is a part of your life. You worked for it. You produced it. You brought it into yourself. And then we waste it. I mean, I go into the convenience store. Have you ever been in the convenience store? I get so tired of people wasting their money in front of me on lottery tickets. I'll just throw it out there. You ready? Only poor people play the lottery. It's a proven fact. Poor people play the lottery. Why do you think they put so much of it in poor neighborhoods? It is another tax on you. I'm gonna win $1 million. You're gonna get struck by lightning before you win $1 million. There's a greater chance of you being struck by lightning. Why the publisher clearinghouse is gonna show up at my house? No, they're not. What we've got to do is learn to live in what God gives us. We've come to that place where we're never satisfied. It's like I said, you can start off. I remember when Sherry and I got married, I was in college, and thank God she had already graduated so she could work full time. Hallelujah. Put me through school, but she worked at A&P Groceries. Anybody remember A&P Groceries? She worked at A&P Groceries, checking groceries, and I worked at Roses. Now, let me explain to you Roses if you don't know. Roses is about four steps down from Walmart. All right, and I worked in the hardware department, putting stuff on the shelf. But you know what? We lived. We made it. We didn't make it with a lot. We ate a lot of stuff we didn't like. We didn't go out and eat but about, every 6 years. But we made it. Now, thank God I'm not living there now. Thank God he has blessed me, and I don't have to live that way now. But you know what? Our problem is that we look at somebody else, and because they're living here, we think that we ought to be living there as well, but we haven't got there yet. Let me talk to young people. Can I do this? Y'all okay? Because I got a long way to go today. But let me talk to young people. I know mom and daddy lived here, but it took them a long time to get there. You have to start off in a starter house, not the $500,000 house. Now, if you got the job to buy the $500,000 house, buy it, but don't turn your nose up at the neighborhood that's not the greatest, at the house that's not the most wonderful, that's got a few little things that need to be fixed, and you say, well, I can't have it because I'm used to better than that. Yeah, but mama and daddy are not paying the rent anymore, I hope. Budget, lack of, you say, well, I don't think that's it. Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm telling you, that is the greatest reason that Christians don't tithe, is a lack of financial planning. Let me give you a couple more. Number four is lack of trust. We don't trust God. We really don't. Now, let me read you a scripture that tells you should. Philippians 4:19, most of you could quote it. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. All of your needs. Now, we've gone through a scenario in the body of Christ over the past several years, and we've told people, whatever you want, God will give you. That's the dumbest teaching we've ever come across. Amen? How many of you know if you give your child everything they want, you're going to have a spoiled, rotten brat? Right? God has not promised you he's going to give you everything you want. He said, I'm going to give you what you need. It just got tight. God said, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we've got to learn to understand that. Our problem is, though, we don't believe that. We're afraid to give because our thought is, well, what if God doesn't come through? And we live with this poverty mentality. We look at our money and we say, man, I can't make it on 100%. I sure can't make it on 90%. Not understanding that God's math is new math. You remember when new math came out when I was about the fourth grade and they just messed our world up? Well, God's math is not your math. God's math is give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, involved in that, somebody will say, well, Pastor, I tried it, and it didn't work, okay? And I've heard that. And sometimes in our lives, it looks like it's not working. It looks like, man, I did this and that. And some people say, well, I gave on Sunday, and I had a need on Monday. Well, let me talk to you just a minute. Only in fairy tales do you plant a seed one day and reap the harvest the next. That's called Jack and the Beanstalk. That's not called the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there's seed time, then there's harvest, and there's always going to be that. Now, there are some reasons. Let me say this to you, and I'll give you a book, and I'll move on because I don't have time to touch this. If you are a tither and you're not seeing the blessings the way that you should, there's a reason. And a guy named John Avanzini wrote a book years ago, and it's called It's Not Working, Brother John. Okay? It's Not Working, Brother John. You can get it on Amazon, and I would encourage you to get that book. Because now, you're not going to agree with all of it. I don't agree with all of it, but it will give you some things, and you may find a spiritual insight there that goes, oh, I understand now. I haven't been doing this, and this is why the harvest is not coming in, because God has told me that He would bring a harvest into my life. He told me to test Him that He would do it. The fifth thing is a lack of commitment. The book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 17 through 18, says, you say to yourself, by your power and strength of your hands, that you have produced the wealth for yourself. But God goes on and says that it's not of yourself, that it is God that has produced the wealth, and He's the one who's given you the ability to do that so He can establish His covenant for this day. God says, look, you've got to get to the place where you are committed to me. You've got to commit yourself to, here's what the Bible says. The Word of God says, the earth is whose? The Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so we struggle with that at times. And what happens to us is that we don't understand that God gave His best for us. Amen. Jesus Christ came to this earth to give His life as a ransom for us. Thank God. I can't pay for that. There's no way. But God gave His best, and He's asking for my least. He's saying, honor me with 10%. Honor me with your tithe. He could have said, honor me with 90% and live off 10. Because He's already told us it's all His. Amen? But He says, honor me with your tithe, and I'll bless. And He said, here's what He said, I'll bless you in such a manner you'll be blown away. Now that's a pretty good guarantee. So let's talk about some reasons for tithing real quick, all right? Number one is this: God is training us to be faithful stewards. The Word of God lets us know that you are a steward, okay? In other words, you've been entrusted with the blessings of God. And so God puts this into your hand, and He says, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to get that. And let me say this to you. That's what happens to some of us, is that we get all caught up in the moment and we get the raise. And guess what? When we get the raise, we raise our standard of living. Right? We get another raise and we raise our standard of living. And look, if you're in poverty and you get a raise, you need to raise your standard of living. But there comes a point in our lives. Are we okay? There comes a point in our lives that we need to learn to set the floor of our life and let the other be an outflow of our life and be a blessing to others. I want to tell you, when you bless others, there's nothing any better than being a blessing to somebody else. Number two is God's teaching us the principle of the harvest. God's teaching us sowing and reaping. He's telling us that if you will understand, I am calling you to be a sower, and if you will sow, you shall also reap. Number three there is that God commands us to tithe. Why should we tithe? Because God commands it. Just go ahead and do this because it's in there. He told the children of Israel in Malachi there, he said, you have robbed me. They said, how did we rob you, Lord? He said, in tithes and offerings. He said, bring the whole tithe. He said, don't bring part of it. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse and prove me in this, if I won't pour you out a blessing that you not contain. Now watch that word rob. That word rob means strong arm. In other words, I can come into your store and I can shoplift something and I'm stealing something. If I rob you, I come in with a gun or a knife and hold it to you and say, give me what's yours. God said, God said, we have robbed, we have strong armed him and kept what is his for ourselves. And he said, I can't bless you until you bring the whole tithe in the storehouse. Number four is this: God promises you a blessing. God says, if you'll give this, I will bless you. I will take care of you. I will provide for you if you will do this. Now remember, and I'm going to close with this. Remember, and I want you to see this, giving is a supernatural grace of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Giving is a supernatural grace of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 and 8 says this, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see, watch what he says, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. In this grace of giving. He goes on, I'm not commanding you, but I tell you to do it because you love God, and he goes on in that. So what we have to come to is this, is that we understand that it is a grace that God puts in our lives. And let me say this to you, you can do it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Number two is, giving calls down the favor of God on you. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given to you. Now here's what I found out about God. If you give with a teaspoon, God gives with a teaspoon, but his teaspoon's bigger. Right? You give with a cup, God will give with a cup, but his cup's bigger. You give with a shovel, God will give with a shovel, but his shovel, whatever it is. You cannot outgive God. God's always going to bless you. God's always going to take care of you. Next thing is, giving is a matter of the heart. Giving's not about money. Listen, I've been doing this way too long. Tithing is not about money. You say, how do you know that? Because look how much money we waste. If you were to get really strict and look at every dime you spend, you'd be blown away. I mean, we'll walk into Starbucks and drop $7. Wow. Come on. I'm not trying to get on you, Starbucks. Chill out. Or you'll go to McDonald's, all right? You say, I don't go to Starbucks, I go to McDonald's. Okay, you'll go to McDonald's. See, and again, I'm not trying to get you to the place that you don't enjoy life and you don't live to the fullest. In fact, I'm trying to get you to live a fuller life. But you got to come to the place where you make that decision to live in the covenant that God has with you. Jesus Christ came to this earth and gave himself for us. And he's called us into an abundant life. He's called us. He said, I'm going to give my life for you. I'm going to shed my blood for you. I'm going to give myself away so that you can be saved. And he said, what I'm doing is I'm calling you into a different lifestyle. So I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, to be a Christian is countercultural. In other words, you're not going to fit in with the culture. The culture says, get all you get, can all you can, and sit on the can. That's what the culture says. God says, get so you can give. Because that's what God did. God said, I'm going to send my only begotten Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Jesus, in that last time with his disciples before his crucifixion, he enters into a supper with them, and he takes a cup at the end of that supper, and he says to them, this is the new covenant in my blood. And he says, as often as you drink this, you do show forth my return until I come. And in that moment, Jesus is calling to us and saying, come to that place where you live in my covenant. It's up to us. See, God never forces us to live in his blessing. He doesn't make us live in salvation. See, he doesn't, the scripture says God's not willing that any should perish, but what? All should come to repentance. But he doesn't make people repent. He doesn't make people get saved. He gives them the opportunity. Once we get saved, he does not make us live the abundant life. He opens it to us. He says it is ours, but it's our choice whether or not we live it. So it's our choice today how we live. In preparing for this series, I begin to think about some of us maybe who have lived this and seen the blessings of God and how we got to the place that we are. And I came across a story, a little humorous story, but it maybe would bear witness with some of you. So this man was asked by his pastor to speak to the congregation, and he was well known in the community, and he stood before the congregation that day, and he said, most of you know me. He said, you know, I've done well in the community. In fact, he said, I'm a millionaire. He said, in fact, I'm a multimillionaire. But he said, it all began when I was a small child. He said, I still remember the day. He said, I was sitting in a service. He said, my mom and dad had given me $1. It was everything I had was this dollar. He said, it was all. It was everything. It meant the world. Now, I had a dollar. He said, but a missionary came to church. Now, how many of you know those missionaries can get you? Right? And he said, as I'm sitting there that night, he said, as they got ready to take the offering, I'm thinking, this is my dollar. It's everything I've got. And he said, but I knew even as a child, God spoke to me and told me to give that dollar. And he said, I gave that dollar that night. It was everything I had. But he said, you know what? Because of that, God has blessed me. And the congregation was moved because he had given everything. But as he went to sit down at his seat, a little old lady with a twinkle in her eye looked at him and said, I dare you to give everything again. See, sometimes we think it's easier to give a dollar. But you know what I found? If you can't give a dollar, you're not going to give $10,000. Because God says if you're not faithful in the little things, he can't make you ruler over much. And he calls money the little things. I'm your friend today. I know some of you don't believe that. Anytime I speak on money, there's always the thing that hits the internet. All that preacher does is talk about money, which is not true. You can download all my sermons and you can see that the majority of time I don't ever speak about money. But if the Word of God talks about money over 800 times, if Jesus talked about money more than he did heaven and hell combined, then maybe we ought to look at money every once in a while.